So now you guys have a full stomach, and you're going to pass out because you're tired from your digestive juices in your stomach. I'm going to try to teach. So I'm right here off, 9 hours difference. It's 7:30 in the morning where we're from, and we're jet lagged really bad. And so the great thing about that is I know that the Holy Spirit is going to have to move because I can't think straight right now. So, but I do want to thank you guys. You know, this has been an inception in our heart for 2 years now. Me and Danny were at Philadelphia, actually, at a pastor's conference. And we talked to some folks of ours that were friends that worked out here. And they were talking about the Ugandan people, the pearl of Africa, I might have to say. And ever since that conversation, it wouldn't leave our hearts. And we knew from that very point that God was calling us to come here to Uganda. And so here we are 2 years later after kind of the first stir in our heart. And we love you guys. You're my brothers and my sisters. And I love that. We're a family here together. And I have my daughters actually here. So Isabella, she's 13. She's right over here. My other daughter, Ariane. So they have had a heart for Uganda as well. And so here we are. I'm able to bring my daughters the first time we've been here. My wife's from South Africa. And so I understand the term TIA, this is Africa. I learned that from her. And, you know, one thing I thought about before we came here is I love rugby now. Do you guys like rugby at all? Okay, some of you guys don't, maybe not, but you understand rugby, right? I love sports, I love rugby now. But I didn't before. It was all like boring American football, all that kind of stuff was me. And so here we are in South Africa, and I'm watching the World Cup against Australia, New Zealand, all these different, Argentina, it was amazing. And one thing I noticed is that when they're in the scrums, they would lock arms together as a team. And they would push over as hard as they can their opponents. And, you know, it kind of made me think of a spiritual analogy because, you know, honestly, when we think about joining together, we think about joining together in hands, right? Our hands are joining together. But I'm like, let's lock arms. Let's lock arms because it's more powerful when we lock arms together to plow over the enemy because the enemy is not going to win. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the victory that is greater than is in us and he is in the world, and that's the God that we serve. So I'm very excited about that. So anyway, so here we are, hopefully bringing just an encouragement to you guys. Honestly, we had a press conference last night for the event coming up on Saturday, and they kept saying, you know, we're honored that you're here and we're blessed that you're here. And I kept thinking the same thing. I'm like, we're very honored. I don't know why God has allowed me to be here. It is an honor. I don't say that lightly. I don't take what I do lightly. God has opened up doors and I'm trying to be as faithful as possible to do well with what God's given me. And so with that being said, I thought I'd talk about the life of worship. So let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and I just thank you for the gift of your love. And I know from that our response will be to lift up your name, to glorify you. And we have so many things to be grateful for. Jesus, we need you desperately. We fall on our face before you, crying out for more of you. Empty me. That's what we need. Empty us, God. Fill us with you and fill us with your spirit. And that's where the power and the anointing comes from. And I pray, God, that the time that we spend here would not just be a tiny little fire starter that goes out within a week, but God, that we would continue, as I felt like you kind of laid in my heart, to stoke the fire. We would stoke the fire continuously. And that this year, 2018, the year of the number of new beginnings, 8, that this would be a new beginning in all of our lives. That we forget what is behind all the negative things, the bad things, and press forward towards the upward call of you. We love you, Jesus, so much. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And all God's people said, amen. I love you guys. This is incredible. The fact that we're able to do this, it blows me away. So, you know, I thought about talking about worship. And, you know, of course, I sing songs and I lead worship, and so automatically I think people think of worship as just singing songs, which we know that worship is singing songs. I mean, it's a part of the worship. It's a part of our giving back to the Lord, singing songs of thankfulness. But as we know, worship is more than just music. And I kind of wanted to start with this scripture for me. Colossians 1, 16 through 17. It says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him." Now check this out. "For him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So, the society that we live in right now is all about self. Now, I love social media. It's a part of, I know, something we can use to hopefully glorify the Lord with the things that we post. Sometimes things are not being used to glorify the Lord in some of our Instagrams, as I've seen. But it's a very self-indulgent society. It's all about self. You guys notice that? Everything is, whatever makes you happy, then follow those things. And I need to tell you this, that sometimes what makes us happy or what makes people happy can be very sick things. So everything in our society nowadays points to, hey, make yourself happy. There's commercials that say, do what makes you happy, indulge yourself, and that's what will make you happy. And we know right away that that literally is going to lead you to a place of emptiness. And so let's start off with this. We were created for him. So I want to go through Genesis to Revelation and to show how examples of worshiping God. It's going to be a long message because Genesis to Revelation is going to be a long one. So we fed you guys really well. So hopefully you guys can stick with me a little bit. Don't fall asleep like I might here on stage. I had kind of an acronym that I wanted to use, and it was hopefully pretty easy. Christ. So there's going to be C, an H, an R, an I, S, and T. Is that right? Did I spell it right? Okay, good. Jet lag's kicking in. So let's start off with Genesis. We were created, so C, created to worship. So let's start there. Our whole reason why we exist was for him. God in the beginning, having fellowship, wanted to have fellowship with mankind, he created man to have this relationship with him. So we were created for his glory, for him, by him. Everything that was created was by him. The whole reason why it was created was for him. And so in the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, we see Adam and Eve. And they were created for God's glory. And so right away you see Satan, which is Lucifer, the morning star, as the name means, he fell. And this is why. In Isaiah 14, he says this, "I will make myself like the Most High." The arrogance of a created being trying to be like God. It's impossible. See, this is the whole start of the fall of mankind, where the enemy was saying, hey, did God really say that you shouldn't eat of that fruit? He's telling Adam and Eve this. Did he really say that? So already throwing these doubts in their minds. He's saying, are you sure that he just didn't want you to be like him, knowing good and evil? So from the very inception of time, the enemy started lying to people. Started lying, saying that you can be like God. If you only do this one thing, if you step out and do this one thing, take that fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God. So of course we know the story. The fruit was eaten, and automatically what happened? God said, who told you you were naked? Who told you that you were not clothed? Now, what I love about the Lord is, you know, he didn't leave us in that state. You know, here was, they were exposed. They tried to hide themselves with fig leaves, and which was probably very itchy. And God looked at them and just said, I love you so much. You've fallen. You've done exactly what I told you not to do, but I'm going to cover you. He covered his children. So even when we make those mistakes, when we make things about us, or we're trying in our own ways to build our own kingdoms, he still says, I love you. I love you. I'm going to cover you. Now, it doesn't give us an excuse to go do whatever we want because we know God's going to cover us, but we understand his graciousness. He's not there. It wasn't like this saying, what have you done? I think when he said, who told you you were naked? He was saying, who told you that lie? Who told you that lie? Yes, they were naked. They were exposed. But I think he was just saying to them, who told you that the shame that was on your life? I don't have bitter things for you. Yes, I have to close off the garden because I can't have man knowing good and evil, walking in that, sinning. I can't have them living forever in that state. So he had to close off their time. but his graciousness covered them. You know, I think about this, you know, our DNA wasn't to receive glory. Once again, we were created for him. And I don't know if you guys know Jim Carrey. Anybody know Jim Carrey in here? Ace Ventura, that's kind of like a long time ago. Anybody know Ace Ventura? Am I like old? Okay, I just want to make sure anybody knows that. So Jim Carrey is a comedian, and I want to read something that he said. So he goes, "I hope everybody could get rich and famous and will have everything that they ever dreamed of so they will know it's not the answer." It's a quote that he had. You know who Tom Brady is? Football? American football? Anybody? All right, Tom Brady. So Tom Brady, he had just won the Super Bowl, and they said, "Tom, you know, you just won the Super Bowl. You have a supermodel wife. You've accomplished everything that, especially as an NFL person, would want to accomplish. You've accomplished that. As a person, everything you want to accomplish, you've accomplished." He goes, "You know, what now?" And he goes, "I don't know. There's got to be something else. There's got to be something else." Here are two people that have literally had it all, and they're saying, "This is not it. I've received that glory. I've received that, and it just doesn't do anything for me." So then you see all these people and all these musicians and all these sports, these athletes, that they try to run to different things of the world because they realize that those things that they've accomplished have led them to nothing, because the only thing that will satisfy us is Jesus Christ. That's it. And so when you run to the things of the world, it's going to leave you empty. It's going to leave you in a state of wanting more until you finally say, "Okay, Jesus, you are all that I need." And you realize the whole reason that we're here is to glorify him, to lift up his name. So you guys, I want to encourage you. It's not about you. Sorry. It's not about me. I mean, I'm on stage in front of people all the time, and it's not about me. And it's a wrestle sometimes, because you're on stage and people are singing songs and they're clapping, and you're just going, "Lord, please help me to stay focused, because I know this is just a gift. I'm not any different. Danny's not any different. No one that's been on stage is any different than anybody else. We're all the same. This is just a gift that God's given me. I just happen to have a loud voice. And if we all were singers, there would be nothing that would get done, obviously, you know. So I'm glad that we're all different parts of the body. You know what I mean? We all have our different parts, and we need each other. You know what I mean? And so, you know, if you're in the place, you know, as we're created to worship God, if you're in a place in your life right now where you're trying to build your own kingdom, stop. Because for one, you won't be satisfied, and you're going to waste a lot of time. We're here to build the kingdom of God, and that's it. That is 100% it. The whole reason why we're here, the whole ministry, why we've come here, is to hopefully in some way encourage you guys, or encourage the body, to build his kingdom so that many people will come to know Jesus. I'm going to share a little story. So when I first started playing music, I remember my thought was, if I just had a song on a CD, if I recorded my music, I'd be done. That's all I would need, just to record music and have it on a CD. That's it. And then I remember once that happened, I said, if I just got signed to a record company, you know, that's all I need. It's just sign a record company. That's all. I would be so happy. I would be so, that would be it. My whole life would be fulfilled. Yes. I got signed to a record company. Then it was like, okay. No, hold on. I just want a song on the radio. That's all I want. Or please, just a song on the radio. Then I would be satisfied. I'd be so happy that happened. And I'm like, God, please help it go number one. Please. So my point is this. You will never be satisfied, no matter how much success you have, unless you're doing it for the glory of God. That's it. So I'm going to start. The next one is H. I'm going to make this as, some are going to be longer, some are going to be a little bit shorter. I'm going to make it as short as possible. I know we're getting late in the afternoon. I'm going to sing a few songs at the end. But our worship unto him should be heartfelt. So H is heartfelt. So, you know, Danny, you know, you talked about it really in a sense, going through the motions. So I'm going to kind of move forward in the story with Cain and Abel. So we've not gotten real far. Adam and Eve, now Cain and Abel. So like I said, it's going to be a long message. I'm just kidding. So in Genesis 4, verse 2, it says this: "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground. And Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was angry and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? So first of all, you have to understand this, the graciousness of God. So God recognized that Cain was not happy, recognized where his heart was going, how he wasn't going, he was going through the motions. He wasn't giving his sacrifice to the Lord from his pure heart. So God said, I'm going to give you a chance right now because you've done wrong. I see where you're going. You're angry. So will you not be accepted if you just do the right thing? So Cain didn't heed to the Lord speaking to him. All right. So the Lord said, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. See, God wasn't pleased with Cain's offering. We don't really actually know why he wasn't pleased with Cain's offering. We just know that Cain's heart wasn't in it. And, you know, I know for me, it's, have you guys ever gone through a worship service or you've been serving someone and you kind of punch your box? I've been to church. I've been to Bible study. I've been to, you know, worship service. I've served my community. You kind of punch your box. Anybody ever done that? I've had times when I've done that. I've gone through the motions of serving the Lord, the motions of singing, the motions of teaching, and my heart just wasn't in it. And I can tell you that nothing good comes from that. Because the Holy Spirit and us walking in the Spirit is where the power comes from. And so when your heart's not in it and you're going through the motions, there's no real effect. Now, God's gracious with his people. There's times when, as you see, there's pastors that you've seen that have done horrific things that they come out later and you're like, how did that happen? I remember being so blessed by his messages. It's because God loves you guys and he loves his people. But there's a danger of going through the motions where we get stale. And that understanding of service unto the Lord, a heartfelt worship unto him, a heartfelt service unto him starts to fall off. The scripture says, do what you do as unto the Lord. We're not doing this as unto man. We're doing this as unto the Lord. Everything that we do, whatever it may be, whatever job you may be doing, do it as unto the Lord. And I'm gonna give you a scripture, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I think that we need to kind of sometimes wake up a little bit. So there's a group of people that came to Jesus and they weren't gonna be let into the kingdom. It said, but Lord, we did all these things in your name. What did Jesus say? I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. So here's these guys that have been doing all these things in the name of Jesus, but they didn't know him. They didn't understand who he was. The love of Jesus flowing through their hearts. Because it's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know him intimately, having a relationship with him. And you were talking about that, Carlos, just going, if we don't have a relationship with the Lord and stirring that up and stoking that up, how can we disciple people? How can we truly be a light in our communities? You know what I mean? In our families, being leaders, as we're talking about in leadership. You might have been in the grind and maybe not even seeing fruit. So maybe you're actually doing things that are heartfelt. Or maybe it's not, but you've been in that grind. I just pray that today that this is a point in your life where you're saying, God, help me not to just go through the motions. Help me to remember why I'm doing this. Help me to remember why I serve you, why I even have been born and created as to worship him. So next one we're going to go to is response. The R is response. So what a response is in worship is the natural response to what the Lord is doing or has done. So let's look at the story of Moses real quick in Exodus 15. So we move forward a little bit. We passed Noah, so that's good. So we're moving forward quicker. Exodus 15 says, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. This is my God, I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, understand what just happened. So the Egyptians had captured the Israelites. They wouldn't let them go. They'd been in bondage for many years. And what did the Lord do as they cried out? They sent Moses, and Moses went, firing through a bunch of diseases and killing of the firstborn and all these things. And Pharaoh finally let the Israelites go. And so as they were walking, all of a sudden the Pharaoh's army started coming after them. They're at the Red Sea at this pivotal point. And they're like, how are we going to get across? Why are we out here to die? Why did you bring us out to the desert to die? We get all these great foods and all these great things, forgetting about the bondage they were actually in. And so what happened was the Lord parted the Red Sea, the troubles that were in front of them. He parted the Red Sea. They crossed it. Pharaoh's armies were engulfed by the water, and they were saved. So what did they do? Miriam took a tambourine. She was dancing around. I mean, I'm sure she had great rhythm. It was probably amazing. I love tambourines, by the way. If you have one, you can pull it out. It's cool. But not now while I'm speaking. Let's wait till. But, you know, when you're serving the Lord on a daily basis and you're spending time with people, naturally what will happen is you'll see God do amazing things. When you're sharing about Christ and you're telling people about what Christ has done in your life, you're going to see amazing things happen. And so what may happen is you'll respond from that. I was talking to my friend today. They were going through this rough time. I shared a scripture that God gave me and it totally changed their life. Or I've been praying for my friend for many years and they finally gave their life to Jesus. So naturally what happens, you get so excited. You're like, yes, God, you pulled through. I've been praying and you did it, a miraculous thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So your response came out from a situation, naturally from just serving the Lord. So then I'm going to share a story of myself. So my wife, years ago, we found out she had cancer. And I remember Danny knew my wife. And I remember to the point where we had gotten engaged and they told us that she was going to have a hysterectomy. What a hysterectomy is, if you don't know, they're pulling out her uterus. We were not going to be able to have kids. And of course, as a young married couple, this is devastating because we were ready. We were newly married, newlywed. We were going to be newly married. We were excited about having kids. That was our dream. And so I remember telling the doctor, because they said the cancer was everywhere, they needed to remove the uterus so that it wouldn't spread more. So I remember saying to the doctor, okay, doctor, if you go in for surgery and the cancer's not there, you'll leave your uterus in, right? He goes, well, yeah, if there's no cancer, there's no reason to remove it, but we've seen it. It's there. I said, okay, but just promise me if you don't see any cancer, please leave it in. He goes, okay. So we prayed and we prayed, you guys, with all of our hearts. We sought the Lord and I said, God, please, I want children. I want children. So I remember her mom ran out of the hospital room. You remember this? Her mom ran out of the hospital. This is a little emotional for me. And she goes, Jeremy, the cancer is gone. It didn't remove the uterus. And I remember, here I am in front of tons of people in the hospital. There's people all around. And I get on my hands and my knees, and I just thank Jesus. I say, thank you, Jesus. I'm yelling it at the top of my lungs. My wife had been healed. So I started worshiping Jesus. Good things had happened, and so I worshiped the Lord. Let me tell you about something else. When you worship the Lord, when bad things happen. 7 months later, I was by her bedside. The cancer had returned. The doctor had told me that she had weeks to months to live. And I remember at first saying, God, why would you heal her in the first place only to take her? I don't understand that. And later the Lord revealed something to me. He said, I want to give you guys hope. I want her to have that hope. While you got married, that you wouldn't know right away and she wouldn't think right away. There's no way you'd have kids. It was God's graciousness and God's just hope for us. So I'm by her bedside, and I remember she wasn't responding. It had been a while since she had responded. I heard her sister say, she's with Jesus now. And I remember at that point, I was on the ground again. This time, though, out of weakness, not on my knees thanking the Lord, but on my knees laying down, curled up in a fetal position, weak because we have been battling and asking the Lord to heal. And I remember when she took her last breath and her sister says she's with Jesus. God spoke to my heart and says, I want you to stand up and worship me. I want you to stand up and worship me. And I said, no, I couldn't. He goes, Jeremy, out of obedience, I want you to stand up and worship me. I remember my dad was there. It's been a while since I've shared this. Remember, my dad was there, and he helped me stand up. So I asked him, we had worship music playing in the background. And I remember I was trying to get up, and my dad, he helped me up. I had no strength at all. I remember I raised up my hands. I raised up my hands, and I started worshiping Jesus. And because of that, obedience, the Lord knew that if I did that, if I raised up my hands, I would experience his presence like never before. I would experience his goodness like never before. In the darkest time of my life, I stood up and worshiped the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's not that I do that all the time. This is a special occasion. I'm not saying that I don't have mistakes. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, why? But in that darkest time of my life, I stood up and I worshiped the Lord. And I felt his presence, you guys, like never before. So my response wasn't just because of a good thing. We respond because God does miraculous things and amazing things. But our response too sometimes should be, no matter what we're going through, no matter what kind of pain that we're going through in our life, God is still good and God is still worthy to be praised. Do you believe that? And so I want to encourage you guys tonight, this afternoon, that there's something in your life that you're just going, I don't have it in me. I'm going through a lot. I'm going through pain. I'm going through heartache. I've been through loss, sickness, whatever that may be. God is still worthy to be praised. And he's there. I remember he took me through little baby steps. Even when I didn't feel like I could even move or move forward at all, he took me through. He carried me through. He loved on me. He was patient. He was gentle. He was merciful. He was gracious with me. That's the God that we serve. So let's go. We're moving through a little bit. Thank you for listening to that. Sorry for breaking down a little bit. The I is intimate. Intimacy. Let's look at David. So we're moving forward in the word. David, I love David. He was not a perfect man, was he? David did all these crazy things. And what did the Lord say about David? He goes, David is a man after my heart. Now, let's kind of dissect that a little bit. Why was David considered a man after God's own heart? He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was really, at that point in his life, when he was an adulterer, he was kind of being lazy. When it says, when the kings were about to go to battle, the kings actually went out to battle with the people. He stayed home. He got comfortable. He's like, you know what? I'm going to stay home. Then what happened? Adultery with Bathsheba. And because of the mistake he made, it snowballed. And then he sent her husband on the front line so he'd be killed. That's David. So you're like, how is he a man after God's own heart? Can I tell you why he's a man after God's own heart? Because he repented before the Lord. He got on his hands and knees and he realized who God was. He understood the heart of God. He got on his knees and cried out, asked for forgiveness. And what did God do? He forgave him. He had consequences for his sin for the rest of his life. He did. That's because of just what happened. But God said, because David before me laid prostrate and cried out and knew his wrong and asked for forgiveness, David knew your loving kindness endures forever. He experienced his loving kindness. He had an intimate relationship with God. Why? Because he knew his heart. He knew his character. And I want to encourage you guys, the intimacy, you have to understand, until you understand God's love, which I don't even know a portion of it because it's so huge. I look at my daughters and they're here right now. And I think about them and I think, I love them so much, I can't imagine loving anymore. How can you love any more than your kids? And they're here with me and I'm experiencing them, watching them just go through and watch this and their hearts and their minds being open and hearts being open. God's love is so much greater than them because our love it's conditional. It's not perfect, but God's love is unconditional and it's perfect. And when Jesus came, And he showed that unending love when he went to the cross and he died and he rose again. Paul said this, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. In the Psalms and in Psalms and Jeremiah, he said this, before I even formed you in your mother's womb, guess what? I knew you. He knows everything about you, intimately acquainted with you, and he loves you. He knows those deepest, darkest things, and he still loves you. He knows your name. He knows everything that's going on. And he says, nothing's going to separate my love from you. And he became the ultimate act of love when our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, up in the throne, came down and he walked this earth, became man, became flesh. Said he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death upon the cross. And it said he rose again. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day, Carlos, you said this in your prayer. One day, because his name is lifted high above all names, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That same magnifying great God that we serve loves you and is acquainted with you. What's your name? What is it? Emmanuel. God's thinking of you right now. You. Amongst all these people, he's thinking of you and he knows you. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows the intimate things. He's a plan and a purpose for you. Know that, all right? The same for everybody in here. God is thinking of you right now. Whatever your situation may be. So understanding God's heart and intimacy is a way to worship the Lord. One of my favorite Psalms, 18:1, it says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we that you, the God of the heavens, are mindful of him? He had an amazing understanding of intimacy and reverence for the Lord. That's what David was. All right, let's move on to the New Testament. Finally, the S is sacrificial. Jesus said in Mark 8:34, whoever desires to follow me must pick up his cross daily and follow me. And even John, Jesus told the disciples, I said these things to you, that in me you will have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So the Lord doesn't leave us hanging. He says, hey, you want to follow me? Pick up your cross daily. There's a sacrifice to be made. The sacrifice to be made for some people. We have some friends that have been ostracized from their families because they gave their life to Jesus. Won't even talk to them. Won't spend time with them. There is a sacrifice for them to follow the Lord. For some of you, there's a sacrifice maybe of a job, a sacrifice of a relationship possibly that you had to take because of your stance with the Lord. Sacrifice of some desire that you may have had because you knew that it was coming in the place of your relationship with Jesus, an idol. Something that you put before the Lord, a sacrifice. And Jesus didn't kind of leave us to the point where we're like, hey, everything's going to be great on this earth. He goes, I'm going to say these things to you that you'll have peace. In this world, you're going to face tribulation. My brothers and sisters, you're going to face tribulation. You're going to face trials. He says that we live in a fallen world. I talked about it in the very beginning because of what Adam and Eve did, because they desired to be like God. They were lied to. We had sin. We have the fall of mankind, you have pain, you have fear, all those things. But Jesus redeemed it. He said, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Sacrifice. Paul says that even all the difficulties that he went through, I mean, Paul was, you guys know all the things that Paul went through. I mean, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was in prison many times. And he said this, hey, I appeal to you, brothers, in Romans 11. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, lay your lives down as a living sacrifice. Whatever that is in your life, even today, what is that sacrifice that you have to make in order to truly live your life fully surrendered unto him, to make him Lord of your life? Because once again, one thing to know about God, another thing to know him intimately and personally. And last, we're done here. T is timeless. The God that we worship, he's eternal. He's timeless. Revelation 4:8 said, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes around, all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who is seated on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before him, before the throne, saying, to you, worthy are you, God, our Lord and our God. To you receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. You, me, for you created all things. And by your will, they existed and were created. What I love about the God that we serve, it says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the Greek alphabet. It's the first letter and the last letter. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. It says before Moses was and Abraham, he says, I am. He has no beginning. He has no end. So we can't put him in a box and try to figure him out. We were created by him. We have a heartfelt understanding of what he's done in our life, to respond no matter what is going on in our life, to worship him, whether good, whether bad, to have an intimate relationship with him, to understand his heart, to live a sacrifice. If you understand all those things, you'll easily be able to live a sacrificial life saying, wow, God, you created me. You still love me. Even though I was created for you, you think of me more than the sands of the sea. I was telling you, Emmanuel, he's thinking of you right now. So it's easier to go, yeah, I can sacrifice for that. But if you don't understand the heart of God, how much he loves you, it's harder to sacrifice. I understand that. And the God we serve is timeless. He's eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is. Before Abraham was, I am. So I want to encourage you guys, your life and worship, understand that it's not about you. The whole reason why we were created, the whole reason why we're here is to worship God, to worship him, and to understand our response to him in every situation is to glorify him because he's good. Amen. Jesus, we love you so much. I thank you for your grace for us, your mercy, your wisdom, your power. I just pray, God, as we spend time in the music part of worship, God, that we would just, whatever that is in our life that you're teaching us through today, through leadership and discipleship, through the worship message, whatever it may be, God, sacrificial, understanding your holiness, God. I just pray that you would do a work in all of our hearts. God, do a work in my heart. I need you desperately. I just pray that you would prepare us for this new year, forgetting what is behind, but pressing forward towards the upward call of you, Jesus. I pray for Saturday, as thousands of people gather together, I just pray that your name would be lifted high amongst the people, that you would receive the glory, God, nobody else, that you would receive the glory. We love you. We thank you. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen.